do your revised edition. How many of you have heard of this book before? Men are from Mars, women are from Venus. How many of you have heard of the book before? Okay, a few people have heard. You know, that man who wrote that book is divorced from his wife today. The wife has finally gone to Venus, he's gone to Mars himself. You know, you know, I don't want that kind of, I don't want to travel with you and you come back later and say, And life can be that difficult too. Yes, Baladi dear. My sound is bouncing in the hall, but maybe because it's empty, but don't worry. I will have said this to do some things. Sorry, I'm a sound freak. So do that. I need someone to advise me. Please look up here. Why did I talk about Jesus so much last week? I need someone, please listen to this. I need someone who can advise me, second, who has power over the circumstances in my life, and who can teleguide me to the desired end. Say that one more time. I just don't need an advisor. Because when things go hurry, I can't trust him in the circumstances because he doesn't have. Like somebody tell me, go to study psychology university. If things go hurry there, will you be there to bail me out? And second, if I'm in trouble in that, will you be there to take me through? Hello, guy, at the back there. Are you still with us? Thank you. Now, I want to prove to you the reason why I'm cynical. I don't take things quickly from people. When I was about to go to university, I did jam. Jam failed me. Jam failed me. So one of my uncles came to my house. I met him a couple of weeks ago, and I went to my uncle's 80th birthday. He said, "Don't worry. Next year you'll pass the exam." I said, "What's the assurance that I'll pass next year? Can you give me an assurance?" He said, "Oh no, I can't." So I said, "Why are you telling me that it'll be okay next year?" I want to give you the reason why. To be honest with you, can I be honest with you? I want to be very honest with you. I will not have this service if I don't have assurance about your future. I will not be running. I'm a very realistic person. I don't want to waste my life. And I hate leading people astray. I hate it. So, my life was a guinea pig of what I'm telling you. It's not that I just come up with some ideas, wrote some things down, and give it to you. No, I didn't do that way. Some people have traveled with them over the years. Dr. Nilesa, at the back there, he's been with us almost since the inception of the church, 20-something years ago. We've traveled life together. Some of you have been around 5, 6, 7 years. I can't afford to step into the future that is unknown. Because we will not be here forever. So if I fool you, you will discover in the future that it's all fools. And that's what's happening today in the church. People are thinking that pastors are fooling us. They're just using us to make money. But let me tell you why I'm in this game. And I have this perennial optimism that it will work. Like I told you, I was at the end of Nigeria's at its glory. That was late 70s, early 80s. I finished secondary school in 1980. That's a long time ago. My school, we were the first set. They're going to have 58th year anniversary. We were the first set. I just saw it next year. So, when I entered university, it was the last part Nigerians living in opulence. I mean, in the 70s, early, when you finish university, there's a car waiting for you, civil service. There's a job waiting for you. There's a house. Ask your neighbor. That's interesting. in this country. All they have for you now is immunization. Okay, all right. Now, I was in the last vestige of that. I entered university 1980-81. So, they were still giving meal tickets to us. And they will give us meal tickets, which is 50, maybe 500, I'm not sure, 500 or something, 50, I'm not very sure now. That's 500. And in the afternoon, we will eat jollof rice plus ice cream. I mean, university. And then, in the evening, we'll go to cafeteria, we'll eat all kind of food, and they have stuff like containers, tea, milk, you want coffee, you want Bonvita, you just open like a tap. You put milk, put sugar, as much as you want. You can go several times. Only 500 thereabout. And when I got to medical school, I don't clean the room. We just step out and they come clean our room. And can you imagine, Federal University will have a fridge by our different quarters and kind of thing like that. It was on my head, they stopped the cafeteria. I took the last Bursley Award from Oyo State. There about, in fact, I had to believe God to get the money. And then we started having a downturn in Nigeria since that time. Now, I was born in a polygamous house where resources were scarce. I never ate at a dining table. We have big mats. You don't pray. You pray, you close your eyes, your meat is gone. I got one cousin that's staying with us. If you want to just dominate over the food, you just spit into the food. So the rest of you just get up. You can eat. Who want to eat is spit. And it was at that moment Nigeria was an unsafe place. Then Sagari came to power. Obasanjo was off, was in the university. Life became difficult and difficult and difficult. And about 1983, thereabouts, there was a massive outcry in Nigeria, and Buhari came. And there was Jagba at that time. Buhari's presence always brings Jagba. Doctors were, everybody was Jagba, Jagba, Jagba. So some of us couldn't Jagba, we were just in the country. And then with Idiagbo, just in the midst of all this, I was in medical school. Life was difficult. But I started doing something. I started revisiting my Christian roots. And I began to see that Christianity is not all this we're talking about. It's about the person of Jesus. I started reading. I love reading. So I started reading my Bible. And I noticed Jesus was giving some assurance that was really out of this world. Are you still here with me? So I began to experiment with that. I read some books about finances. I started experimenting. I'm going to tell you what I did. So I did that with Jesus became a more significant person in my life than just going to church. Then secondly, there's another strike again. Cool. And Buhari was thrown out. Everybody was happy. Then Maradona came. Babangida. Till today, I still love Babangida. One of the most fascinating persons you ever meet. He asked people around him, you remember your children's name, family name, your brother and sister. He was a dribbler. Through 8 years, he took our country through that and through that. But something was happening to me. I was cutting my teeth, finding out the kingdom of God. Because I remember something happened to me about the kingdom of God. Just a seek ye first kingdom of God. We see that today. And all this will be added to it. So I began to experiment. I didn't join a ministry. You know, there was nothing like ministry at that time. Are you hearing me? What you see today in this country is not like that before. This just only be SU places and things like that. So all this thing came out late 80s, early 90s, since today. But I was determined to find out more about God. I was not depending on ministers to listen. I started, I jammed a Christian bookshop in Ibadan that has 10,000 books and 3,000 audiovisual materials. So every three weeks, I'm going to Ibadan. I pack books, everything about Christian, 500 years book ago, it's all there. So I just read and study. And I watch all these ministries. I saw countries that live in our country, where they wind up. All this attack I see today by churches and pastors, I send them ahead. So you know what I did? I dodged. I didn't belong to any organization. I wanted to experiment with this. Let me tell you the turning point that I want to share with you today. When I talk about Jesus last week, we have not really explored who Jesus was. We just think he's just a founder of religion. And some of you, I pity over here today. You are the byproduct of what churches have done and damaged us. So we just think, just go to church, laugh a little bit, pastor's hands, run ministry, go all over the world, get global, you put signboard up. That's absolute nonsense. It's not, that's what Jesus was not doing that. Jesus was not, don't get me wrong, it's good to have signboard, we have signboard too, but that's not it. It's not about coming to ministry, wear jacket, tie, come to the pulpit, set up things, and that's not that. I don't think Jesus came to die for that. He didn't come to come and just give us ambitious projects. It's come for human life first. Human life is the most ambitious project on this planet. I'm talking about your life. So, and honestly, I just died. And you know what? It's getting brighter and better as I go further. Let's go back to Luke 6 that we read last week. We read it in Matthew, but let's read it in Luke 6. Let's go to Luke 6, verse 46. We read this last week. We read verse 1 of Matthew. But why do you call me Lord, Lord? I don't do the things which I say. You know, one of the biggest trouble today that you see pastors, some of you, that's why when you start reading the Bible, some of you over here, you go to church, you watch videos. There's something that bugs you if you're a reader. You find out that these so-called churches and pastors, they're not doing the Bible. For instance, let's talk like this. I was telling my wife, did you ever see Jesus talking about his shoes, his plane? Huh? You see Jesus talking about how much he has in his account? Huh? You see Jesus, but you don't know. That's what you think Christianity is, because that's what you watch on the stage. And these other boys want to join them too, to become like them. So they're always having minister conferences. You hear me? Jesus will have crowd upon crowd, big people, and he will stop to go and take care of a 12-year-old sick girl. That's amazing. Jesus will go to church and praise a widow with two mites given to the offering. Jesus will stand on the sea and command sea to stop. Jesus was not thinking about ministry. You know, this morning I was reading to the older folk. Thank you guys for helping me clap for them. They came to do what we are doing. Our teaching we do on Sunday, grief. We took it to the first service, so they listened to us and you really educated them well. Thank you guys. That means this is coming of age. So Jesus, look at something Jesus said. Let's go to Matthew 15. Take a look at this. Jesus was in pain. They just killed his cousin, John the Baptist. Let's go to Matthew. Let's go to Matthew 14 first. Matthew 14. Take a look at this. The kid John cut off his head. Verse 10. We'll come back to Luke. So he sent and had John beheaded. John was the closest person to Jesus on earth. They are the same spirit. Next verse. So, and his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl who asked for the head and brought it to the mother. Next verse. Then his disciples came and took away the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. The closest person to Jesus on earth was John, who announced him. And guess what? He was killed. Beheaded. Sounds like those Islamic fundamentalists. And told Jesus, what do you think happened to Jesus? Look at next verse. When Jesus had it, he departed from there to desert place. Just want to be alone. He just bothered by himself. But look at what happened next. But when the multitude had it, they followed him on foot from the cities. So these people, you know, they were just following Jesus. Look at next verse. I love this. And when Jesus went out, you see, he disappeared to go and grieve. And when he was grieving, before he got down there, people had gotten there. And when he came out of the boat, he saw a great multitude. And he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. Jesus was not exploiting the crowd. That's why you don't see me in this church talking about money, how to collect money, how to make myself big. I don't do that because my greatest ambition is to see Jesus one day. And I want to see his smile. That, big boy, you tried. Jesus put value on people more than anything else. One time, he drove out demon from one man and 2,000 pigs perished. He will do anything for a human being. In fact, they asked him to leave their area. In fact, that's why he pointed his finger at Pharisees. Say, Pharisees, you are hypocrite, because they were tormenting and oppressing the people. Please, are you still here? I'm trying to give you a new face of this thing, not just what you have been saying around us. But something happened. After he was healing them, let's read the story in Matthew 15. This was going on. Okay, so we read a little bit from here. Let's keep reading. Let's keep reading. Let's go on. When it was evening, the disciples came to him saying, see, there's that place, and the hour is already late. Send multitude away, and they may go into the villages and buy themselves food. See, leadership today is like that. Send them away. Go jack my job. First leg. And look up as a country. Increase the fuel price. We don't know what's going on. They're not thinking about us as much, just like disciples of Jesus. But let's hear what was pushing Jesus around. Let's go to Matthew 15. He will tell us that same kind of story there. Let's go to Matthew 15. Take a look at this. Verse 32. Now Jesus called his disciples and said, everybody, read along with me. Can you read it with your mouth? Now Jesus, go on, I'm hearing you. Called his disciples to himself and said, what did he say? I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now continued with me 3 days and I have nothing to eat. And I don't want them to send them away hungry. You know, if it's a Nigerian pastor, you give them 7 days more of fasting. People don't have enough to eat and we're just serving them fasting 40 days. You know, this is Jesus. Jesus bellyfooled them. Are you hearing me? I'm not attacking. I'm just telling what Jesus did. You know, I grew up in Baptist church. How many of you went to Baptist church? When your parents, Baptist church, where I understand. Anybody else, Baptist church? Great. Okay, Tunde, great. There was one song we sing Baptist church. It's a stanza and hymn. You say, Mofe kinda BJ. I want to be like Jesus. I was smoking my. And I was really happy. Then the last stanza says, Nkole dabi. So I told myself, if you can't be like, what are we doing here? You said, let's go to beer parlor, pass out. We can't be like in my boy's soul over there. I was saying that. Tell somebody beside you, let's revisit Jesus. We need to, strange word, we need to excavate Jesus from religion. We need to excavate Jesus from Christianity. You know, Christianity has been so much. Can we just, because that's what we last. For instance, today, if Titi Taiwo, Titi over there, gets a visa to go to America, he can go with RFC. The only thing he has really lasting is Jesus in our heart. Am I making some sense? Now, let me ask your neighbor, do you actually have Jesus in your life? Don't wait for an answer. Just help me tell them and turn back to you. It's Jesus. So what I'm here to do is to give you what I think is the best. I'm not giving you myself. You can't take me along to face life. Let me do some marketing this morning. Let's use that word. I know it's a dirty word. Let me convince you why Jesus should be followed. Then we're going to come to what he wants to do with your life. Why should we take our life? Imagine this. Just imagine this. You are going for a wedding in Lagos. And they gave you this complicated road to Orosoki. And then you pick that, you start asking people on the way. And it's not quite easy. Listen. And then suddenly you met this guy. Please, I'm going this way. He said, okay, take it. He said, I'm not sure. He said, I'm going to that same place. Get your car to follow me. All you need is not to worry where you are going now. This guy is the way there. So what do? You take your car and get behind that guy's car and follow him there. Jesus said, I am the way. Are you hearing me? You want to get married? I'm the way there. You want to be happy? I'm the way there. I'm the way to life. Real life. Now, somebody said, Pastor, how are you convinced that Jesus is that important? Let's go to Luke 5. Then we'll look at his teaching. Let's settle the credibility of Jesus first. I would have Luke 5 from verse 1. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear, pressing around Jesus to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Are we here? Jesus was preaching, teaching, and then crowd were pressing on him. And he saw two boats standing by the lake. It was around Lake Galilee. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Please be with me. I need your attention. Then he got to one of the boats, which was Simon's. There are two boats there. These fishermen were there. Peter was there. And he said to him, can you just let me use your boat like a kind of a pulpit? So that, you know, if I stand on the ground, it won't be easy. But if I stand inside the boat or something, I can move up and down and preach. Peter said, voila, you can have it. And Peter had to be the usher to take the boat because Jesus was not a fisherman. He didn't have to handle boats. So Jesus sat or stood at one side. Peter took his thing. He took him up and down while he was preaching. I don't know how many hours that went on. Then when they stopped, look at next verse. And when he ceased, stopped speaking, he said to Simon, now listen. Listen to this. He launched out into the deep and let down your net for a catch. What are we doing? Coming here. We want to see the authority and the credibility of Jesus over our lives. Because the world is going crazy today. No formula is working anymore. Governments are coming apart. Can you just imagine? Look at Kamala Harris, Democrat, Trump, all of them. Look at our next door neighbor, Cameroon, there. The man for 50 years, Paul Biya. Look at our country. Don't look further. Now, don't forget this. Anywhere you see the kingdom of God, write like this, good governance of God. What do I say? Good governance of God. So Jesus said to him, launch out into the deep, let down your net for a catch. Now, I hope you understand. How many of you have been to fishing here? How many of you have been to fishing here? Or you did fishery? Okay. Do you catch fish during the day? Do you catch fish during the day as much? It's much in the night they catch fish, right? Thank you. Because what fish eat goes down deep during the day and come up in the night. Correct? Thank you. So, naturally speaking, you don't catch fish during the day. And Jesus finished teaching and said to Peter, launch out into the deep, let down your net for a catch. Let's look at the response of Simon. Simon said, Master, you've taught all night. You know, Peter was thinking like this. I hope this carpenter knows what he's talking about. He's illiterate about fishing, you know. Can you tell your neighbor, is Jesus literate? Does he know about life? You know, they had a study done in America. Listen to this. They had a study done in America. They were trying to find out, you know, how many of you know what they call radar waves? How many of you know radar waves? Radar waves. Yeah. We know radar. What's a radar wave? Radar wave is what they used to fly plane in the air. They use radar waves to fly plane in the air. Because you can't look out to actually see. So, waves. Do you know what they did? They went to university and asked the students in the class this question survey. Does God understand radar waves? The three quarter of the class said, God ain't understanding. It's a God of the village. Now, this is the shocking truth. NASA, the American Space Agency, spent about $2 or $3 billion to study radar waves from bats. You know bats? How many of you have bats around your area? Bats. They don't have eyes, and they move in the dark. How are they moving? And they don't stumble on you usually. They are blind during the day, and so you'll be hearing the noise. They are actually using radar waves. Are we here? Did you get what I just said? Or you have slept? They think that God doesn't know radar waves, so they are thinking, Peter was looking at Jesus. You don't know this. Let's start from the basic. Can you ask somebody beside you, why Jesus? Why Jesus? We have enough of religious leaders. Why Jesus? Listen, everybody over here. Listen, everybody here. This is why Jesus. No human being is competent enough to give us all the answers. Why? We've all sinned. From Adam downward. Check your Bible. Every person in the Bible messed up somewhere or the other. Abraham lied. Peter denied Jesus. John called down fire. Noah, saving the whole world, got drunk. Job said, this God, wow. Oh, David, don't count. Who else? So, none of these great guys could actually fully express God. So what God did was to send a son that he could package him for our real life. Not just for us to go to church and have big things like this. This is just by the side. I hope you're listening. So he said to him, let down your net for a catch. This is where I'm going. If he could tell you advice, will he make it happen? That's the question here. Because life is too precarious today. Honestly, you guys, sometimes I fear for you. You know, there's so many voices want to stick your money. When I was growing up, we have only one account. And nobody breaks into our account. Now, you got guys that are watching your account and watching your email. You don't know who is telling you. MTN will say MTN family. They don't be family. They just want to buy more credit. Nobody is reliable. Sometimes we come to church. They want to use us to be their ministry. I talk very plain because people who are young over here. I talk to you because you are our tomorrow. So Jesus said that to him. Is he reliable? After using his boat, look at next verse. And the lower... Give us quickly. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish. You don't catch fish during the day. What made fish to come out to enter the boat, to enter the net? You can give me an advice, but your advice won't change dollar rate tomorrow. I can advise David on who to marry, but the girl will not follow my style, right? But Jesus is saying, I'm telling you, drop your net. And the next thing, fish that is not your neighbor. Like somebody said, all the fish in the sea came to hear Jesus. I want somebody who can control the weather, who can control circumstances. I just don't want somebody giving me his own take. And you can see them, millions of them on YouTube and Facebook. They're giving their take, and they're taking away everything from us except signing up, following them. They caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. My issue here is not that happened by accident. Jesus did this repeatedly wherever he went. Jesus will look at somebody who's paralyzed. Just mere word, get up, take your mat and go, and you get up and go. If he can do that, then he can fix my life. Then, you know, Jesus one time entered the boat. He said, let's go to the other side. Go to the other side. And Jesus took his pillow and slept in the boat. I wonder, he had a pillow in the boat. And there was a storm. How many of you have been on water before? If you ever caught some water, something, they can't find you can't find your body. You just sunk. And Jesus, I don't know about you. The storm was, the boat was, and Jesus stood at the edge of the boat and said, peace be still! And the thing just went quiet. And one time, he was praying somewhere. The disciples were struggling on the boat. He just came down, just like you take a stroll behind your house, and he was walking on the water. Go to Ogun River and try that. You see, the church has failed in describing to you the real person. Not the GO, not the pastor. That's our problem today. They never gotten us fascinated with Jesus or fascinated with their ministry. That's the problem. Am I making some sense today? So, you see, everybody's trying to get to the man of God and get nearer to catch the anointing. But that's not what Christ said this up for. It's about, look at him. Look at him. Do you know that Jesus had an experience in the Bible? It took three of them, James, John, Peter, to go and pray. And they were praying. And while he was praying, he was changed. He just literally began to glow. And while he was glowing, guess what? Moses appeared. Elijah appeared. These are the juggernauts of the Old Testament. Moses was the law, and Elijah was the prophet. And they were discussing with Jesus, and these boys, of all boys, slept off. You know, it's amazing. They were busy sleeping, and Peter woke up. He just saw the glory glistening everywhere. Light was. He said, he just blotted out, Lord, let's stay here. We make one place for law, Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you. And the Bible says, cloud covered the place, and they heard a voice. People say, shut up! Listen to him. Not to Elijah and Moses. You see, many of you over here, you're having difficulty reading the Bible. You know why you're reading the Bible? You have difficulty reading the Bible. Because you think that the Bible will give you the answer. The Bible has only one aim, to make you see Jesus. That's the problem. It's not, who are the sons of God that met with the daughters of men? All those things. Who was Enoch? Where were they? And where did they kill? No, the whole purpose of the Bible was to make you see Jesus. See, Jesus, when he rose from the dead, if there was any meeting I want to be in the Bible, it was this meeting. When Christ rose from the dead on the third day and he appeared to his disciples, then he went to go and appear to two guys walking on the road. And the Bible said he began to show himself in the, let's go and read it, Luke 24. Okay. What I'm pleading with you today is to get your eyes off yourself, get your eyes off the government, get your eyes off church, pastors, and GO, get your eyes on Jesus. It sounds weird, but that's the truth. Luke 24, are we there? When they were walking on the road, look at verse 25. He said to them, Luke 24, verse 25, 24, 25. He said to them, oh foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophet have spoken. Let's go on. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? Next verse, look at this. I wish I was in this meeting. I always pray, but it can't happen. Maybe one of these, give me a reverse. And beginning at Moses from Genesis, and all the prophets to Malachi, he expounded to them in all the scriptures. What? See all these brilliant guys that can tell you all this kind of stuff on TV, on tube, YouTube. That's not what matters. It's Jesus that matters. Clap your hands for Jesus there. Who will deliver us? Like Esther one time, traveling. Almost among the kidnappers. Who will deliver us? Jesus. They said, call his name, Jesus, for he will deliver his people from their sin. I want you not to know me. One of these days, you travel and you forget me. That's fine. I want you to remember this I'm saying.
Get hold of Jesus. Pastor Henry, what are you doing here? You're welcome. Get hold of Jesus. That's what matters the most. It's not church. It's not preliminary. It's not event. You know why I want you to eat the donuts and the drinks? You know why? I'm trying to bribe you to listen to Jesus. Let's make it plain. It's not to listen to Jesus and be convinced by him. That's all I'm trying to do. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. So I want you to shift the authority to the person, not to his institutions. They will disappoint us. Churches will disappoint us. Pastors will disappoint us. Girls will disappoint us. Boys will disappoint us. They'll give us breakfast, lunch, and dinner at the same time. But somebody won't do that to you. Clap your hands for Jesus one more time. So I want to plead with you. In all this, extract Jesus. In all this we are doing, extract Jesus. Get hold of Jesus. Happened to me when I was in university. You know, I went to university, I was moving, I was trying to follow God. But, you know, I just, okay, we go out, we pray, we come back, we jump. And all my classmates, some of them, I don't see them anymore. They were very active. But I was too weak, and I just owed them to Jesus. And I'm glad I did that today. Sometimes even parents will disappoint you. But you can hold on to Jesus. I'm saying all this to now tell you this. That the person that is worth listening to, when you pick up the Bible, I'm not asking just to read the Bible because you want to read the Bible. We want to read an archaic book. When there are other books to read, fascinating philosophies. But this one, I can give you two reasons why you should read the Bible and follow Jesus. Number one, all these other guys, they are simply leaders. They are not friends. You already said? They are simply leaders. Muhammad was a leader. Buddha was a leader. Tell you what, you can go find your way over there. But Jesus was not a leader, was a friend of sinners. That means he gets involved dirty with you. He's on your side. He wants your best in life. You know, if I need some money now, I call my friend. I don't call my enemy. Huh? If I need something in third service, I call Shola. I know he'll be there for me. They're not just only their friends. Are you hearing me? Jesus said, I'm your friend. And as a friend, you know, friends usually don't come down to don't do things like, if you're a friend, you will leave. So I've seen some guys, when I was in school, they have a house in VI, and they have friends who live at Somolu or Mushin. And you see this guy, they will leave their parents' house and come to Somolu and play with their friends. I say, mommy, I'm coming. But when you now grow up now, you know that you're living at VI, now at Somolu, you don't go to VI anymore. Jesus left VI of heaven and came to Somolu here. Ate our food, drank our water, died on our cross. The second reason why I follow Jesus, he beat death at his game. He was the only one in history. You go to Muhammad, you go to today to Medina, you find Muhammad's graveyard there. You find Buddha's graveyard in the India or somewhere there. But Jesus' tomb was empty. Why? He borrowed a tomb. Nobody borrowed tomb in history. You don't borrow a tomb. You can borrow a car, you return it. But you don't borrow a tomb, you don't return it. Jesus borrowed a tomb. 3 days later, he returned it. Baba Adeboye will never borrow a tomb. Tunawos won't borrow a tomb. Because I'll die one day, you die one day if Jesus died. But this one borrowed the tomb. And the third day, he rose and said, death, at last you are conquered. And the kind of conquering of death was different. It was not like his spirit is living on. No, he came here, gone. He said, touch me. He said, bring food, and he ate. Have you ever seen ghosts eating food before? And you know what? He stood and he went up. I mean, they were there watching, and that's amazing. You know, watching Peter, James, and John, and he started going. Not with bow 747. And then the angel said, he's coming back. Whoa. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. This is what has kept me all these years. I'm telling you my secret now. This is what has kept me. I've had all kinds of disappointments. I've had all kinds of issues. Look here. If I want to follow my flesh, what Christians have done to me, I will buy 3 sets of dogs, and train them. If you see any Christian, bite them.
People have disappointed me. But no, I will still do what I need to do because of Jesus. Are you here? Now, let me tell you the turning point in my life about living in this world. I want to close with this. The turning point in my life happened when I began to listen to Jesus. And it got to a point that this shocked me more than anything else. And in fact, I spent 3 months on this passage. 3 months, I would open every day, look at it. Because it was so practical, it was so down to earth, particularly to a country we are living in today. Let's go. Matthew 6. This is what shocked me. And it's very practical, and it's down to earth from Jesus. This is what Jesus said. We can see if we can, next few minutes before we eat. Let's go to Matthew 6. All right. I was talking about prayer, fasting before then. It got to verse 19. Take a look. Verse 19. This is what got me interested. I love investments. I love putting up things for myself in the future. I want to have savings. Jesus said, don't lay up for yourself treasure on the earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. This is Jesus talking now. And he said, next verse, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Please, everybody listen. Are you here? See, this story I've been taught in churches when I went to church. He said, we are going to heaven. And we are going to heaven. We are going to heaven. One of these days, Jesus will come through the sky. And I agree with that. We thought, we just said Jesus will come back again. But when Jesus came, you know what he was announcing? He was saying, the kingdom of heaven has come. Ah. In fact, he gave us a lost, what's a lost prayer? Read it. What did he say? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That we go to your kingdom. No, your kingdom come. So I noticed that, listen to this. I noticed that when Jesus came here, he brought heaven. Not just the place, but the atmosphere. See, when you enter Jesus' presence, you are the corridor of heaven. For instance, when you go to the embassy of U.S. in Nigeria, when you get to the gate, you are in the U.S. You are no longer in Nigeria. The moment you cross the gate, you enter there, Nigeria doesn't have any power there anymore. Nigeria has ceded that plot of land to U.S. Jesus is like that. When you enter his presence, you have stepped into the atmosphere of heaven. So Jesus was saying this, not talking about having treasure in heaven. It's like saving in dollars. You know that all other currencies are tied to dollars. So you cross over to the embassy of US and put your dollars there. Know that you can always change it back to the former bigger money. Is that all right? Jesus was saying, hey, come on, put your treasure where heaven it is. Not that when you die, you go and find it. No. He said, live from heaven here. In this place, you have thieves and moths and rust. Look. Let me give an example. Look at education. It's a great treasure. But it has gotten bastardized now. Am I right? I mean, if you do BSc those days, you are a king on the mountain. You get BSc now, they push you aside. Am I right? You can't even get a job. I mean, can you tell me? I go to school for primary 6 years, secondary 6 years, university 5+, private 5, 4, 5. That's how many now? 6+6, 12+5, 19, 17, thereabouts, years. And I get to final year. You just be attending entrepreneur class. There's no work. You must be dumb. What kind of system is this? I mean, you took me through 19 years and tell me there's no job. And then I should come for entrepreneur class. And then who's teaching me? One lecturer that's collecting salary. Huh? And say, entrepreneur takes risk. No, get Yatoku to come and teach us. Yatoku to take risk. And you take risk. See, that treasure, the thieves are stealing it now. They are stealing everything in education now. And then you go abroad and they say, the certificate is not wulu. Certification again. They say certificate to certification now. Am I right? They start going for course and course and course and course. Their main aim is to keep dropping you so that you can have only few at the top. Some exams in Nigeria, for an exam, you don't go there to pass. Don't know that. You go down there, you already failed. Prove yourself you can pass. You get what I'm saying?
Now, everything's losing value. Look at family today. Why? I saw one guy told me, look, I'm going to homosexual. I said, why? He said, marriage has failed. It's no longer a treasure. Jesus said, all this is your treasures. Don't put it on art here. Art will keep on changing. I took my marriage into that heavenly treasure. Thieves can destroy it. Jesus is saying, look, I'm an embassy of heaven. I want you to transfer. We are coming practical now. Look at next verse quickly. Let's go. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let's keep reading. The lamp of the body is the eye. Okay, let's look at your eyes. Look at your neighbor's eyes. The lamp of the body is the eye. Notice something. Shall I stand up? Nothing else can see anything except his eyes from his body. His body can't see anything. If I push him now, it's the eyes that will see it. If you want to dodge his eyes, without his eyes, he can move. Jesus said, the eyes you have, and if your eye is good, your whole body is full of light. Jesus was saying this. Your real problem is your perspective. Your real problem is perspective. All the trouble you are having is not, it's not the resources, it's not problem, it's not government, it's your perspective. For instance, now look at those who are in Abuja. They go down there, their perspective is to loot the country. I heard Pastor Samadi, he was talking. Do you know that? He said, Baba Deboye, they were in the plane together. And Baba Deboye, you know, they were in the plane. So he went to go and say, Baba, Ekwelesa. Baba said, huh? He said, can I ask you a question? Baba said, I can't dodge you now. We are both in the plane. I can't say, I give you an appointment. Talk with you. Then Pastor Sam said, sir, I want to ask you a question. What does it take to transform this country? Baba Deboye breathe. I said, you know what? We need to pray for the righteous people to be there to get things done. But somebody here said, I just care. And the country is really bad. Good for us. Baba Deboye said, let me ask you a question. He said, if in the community there were 10 robbers, if they want to pick a leader, would they pick policemen? There were 10 robbers. If they are voting, who will they vote for? Then he said, Pastor Debo, he said, just imagine they mistakenly voted policeman. What will happen to the policeman? Papa Debo, he said, either they will kill him, or second, he will fake that's not a policeman. Or thought he want to embark on long-term transformation of them. Osam said, when I got to my PhD thesis level, I encountered what Adeboye said, that populace always choose the kind of quality of their life for their leadership. Nigeria choose because we are all zim, 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 zim. So Adeboye is saying, we need to change the perspective. The perspective, Jesus said, the perspective is the eye, what you see. Look at next verse. If your eye is evil, if your eye is bad, your whole body be full of darkness. If therefore the light in you is darkness, if your perspective is already warped, it's true. I'm sorry to say this, forgive me. That school you went to, private secondary school, the purpose was not to educate you, it was to make money. Not the public school. The public school, the purpose of the teacher is that I'm frustrated and I'm left here in this bush to teach you. So you can see we are already on the way to the mediocrity. Are you listening? So Pastor Samadi Yemi said this. He said, I met one of the governors. Governor, Brother Sam, I think they were quite close. Brother Sam, sit down. He said, you know my problem? I said, Governor. He said, what's the problem? He said, look, I have vision, impeccable. I have great contractors. They can work. I got good project. You know my people? You know my problem? Even my executive board, I had them discussing. And they said, oh God, they talk vision. Say vision like my journey. Executive board, the commissioners,
So if there are 10 robbers and you vote for a policeman, so Jesus wants to make you right person. That takes some time. Is that clear? Let's go further. Our time is up, but let's read some more. I just want to read. Let's go now. Let's go. No one can serve two masters, for either you will hate the one and love the other, or else you will be loyal to the one despite the other. You cannot serve God and money. Now, Jesus hit the idea. The real stuff that is tormenting our life today is money. Now, we are in a capitalist economy. Everything is dominated by money. Guy, why are you not marrying yet? Because you... Hello, Kosovo. Let's be honest. Kosovo, what else? Why do you want to go abroad? Cash. It's not only Nigeria, it's all over the world. Money is driving us. Girls, a guy walks up to you, drive this latest car, and says, hello. You say, hello. And this other guy just come looking like chimpanzee. Hello. Even the main smell turn you away from. I understand. It's everything about today what we have. Jesus said, our problem is that we are servant of money. You know, as a church like this, I can be servant of money. What I'm looking at is the baseline. How much is coming from here? And this service is too bad. What we are eating is more than what we are giving in this service. When we eat, buy all the things we buy, we finish eating it. And I'm enjoying every service because money was not dominating my mind. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. Now, my house now, I have to start rescuing myself from just love of money. That my children will go to good school, they will live good, their life will be okay. I'm not let money go to dominate me. They're going to give it to them. God will help me. If I have that stand first, but we just think, there's money, 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 money. And you know what I find out? Some of these people that are attack prosperity message, they are more lovers of money than some of these guys. So, Pastor, what do we do? I'm going to read it, then we stop. Next week, we'll continue. So, what's the conclusion from there? Let's go now. Let's go. We sit down now. Therefore, I, Jesus, say to you, do not worry about your life, what you eat, what you drink, not about your body, what you put on. It's not life more than food and the body more than clothing. That means take your life off GDP. You know GDP? I don't know if you know GDP. You know GDP? What's GDP? Gross domestic product. But you know, there's no peace in that GDP. There's no family in that. There's no joy in that GDP. It's all about animal plant production. Tosi can tell me, all those guys who dress serious in the bank are borrowers of money, plenty. Am I correct? Lord, I'm broke. They look rich. Jesus said, I want to take your life to the next level. Stop worrying. Let's go on reading. Next verse. Look at the birds of the air. It gets very practical. Look at the birds of the air. For the other soul, I spent 3 months on this passage. 3 months. That's why you're looking at me different today. I'm this way different. Spent 3 months. Maybe I'll ask you to do 6 months on it. The thesis on it. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Look at what he said there. Are you not? You know today, how do they value us? Bachelors, masters. Looks great, I can marry him. He said, oh, you know, Elon Musk is worth $200 billion. By the way, those are papers stacked together. That's what we are worth, papers. Your own color is naira, their own is dollars. Are you not of more value than they? Can I ask you a question? How many years you have seen birds having conference about food supply in next millennium? How many of you have you wake up in the morning, you see the bird by your window and say, this country. Now wow, Tinubu of power you. You know what they do? I saw this years ago. practically went out to look at the birds through my window when I was around your age. I said, look at the birds. And then the birds just, where I live now, where is Joy? Where we live now, I live around the same house. The birds disturb us. Do they disturb you, Joy? The birds sometimes they come out in the night and they have all kinds of sound. I was like, groan, groan, groan. I was like, pew, pew, pew. Say, you don't you think? Jesus said, look, 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 look. You worrying about this, worrying about that, worrying about your tomorrow. Look at the birds on the air. This is so practical, this is so simple. Look at the birds on the air. They never sow, they never gather, they never have account, they have no pay, no money points, no waters. Pampy. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. What? Not their heavenly Father. People, your heavenly Father feeds them. Can I take, you know, I said, I stopped. I asked myself, how many birds are in Ogun State? How many birds are in Ogun State? Don't think there are too many number. If Dangote try to feed the birds in 1 month, he feels something in his pocket. Because those things, they eat around the clock. You know, yeah, I was a young man. I was not married. I look at the future and I ask myself, can I trust that heavenly Father of Jesus? Like the birds will get up every day and live out their lives. Should I get into this rat race? No, I'm challenging you in the next couple of Sundays now to really reappraise matters. Are you not more valued than they? Who is valuing us in life today? Who is valuing us today? What's our value today? MTN, your card. They value you in that eatery by how much you pay. Huh? You know, if you give the guy some money for the food, you say thank you. When you say $15 extra, you're more valuable. 1,000. You'll be greeting you every time you come to it. Come and eat at the eatery. That's your value. So, in church, that happens too. You become a deacon by how much you give. Huh? But look at nature. Nature values the birds. Nature values the small, small chicks. Let's really just say, I don't want to teach today. I just want to read through so we can go and take our questions. Next verse. Let's go quickly. Which of you by worrying? Hey, which of you by worrying can add to your height? Which of you? Now, don't get me wrong. I was not reading this verse. My daddy was not in VI. My mom was not working at CBN. My father was just losing out in business. We were so many in the house. And I was facing the future that's dicey, that's dangerous, and how my life will turn out. And he's telling me that my worry can't add to my life. This is the source of corruption. This is the... You see, you don't get people that are stealing money in Nigeria. You don't get it. You think because they're just wicked. No! When I become commissioner for finance, oh boy, I'm getting a chance for tomorrow. Because tomorrow, I'll be forgotten. So what do? I stack, that tomorrow, I will not be left alone. Next verse. Let's run quickly. So why do you worry about clothing, ladies? Consider the lilies of the field, the grass outside there, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. No, you know my next question, Lord? Should I become bed? Should I become the grass of the field? Sometimes you think that if you are just reduced down to other level, life can be easier. Because you see, if I come as a dog, I mean, like all these dogs, the one that the real dog, not all these local ones. What do you call their name? German Shepherd, you know, I mean, they put me in a house in VI. I eat real dog food. Huh? I don't have to join Molue. I don't have to get certificate. I don't have to buy anything. I don't have to find a girl to marry. They are around me plenty. I just, woo, they will show up. And when I'm through with that, when I die, they bury me at their expense. Being a dog is better. Look at me, woman, ask you, all that kind of thing. But God said no. Let's read on. Next verse, quickly. Now, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more clothed you of little faith? Let's keep on reading now. Let's go. Therefore, do not worry, say, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, where will we live, what shall we wear? Next verse. For after all these things, the Gentiles, the nations, that's all we are doing. Our government is rated on this. For your heavenly Father knows. You know, it sounds, you know, I meet pastors today. You see, pastors don't believe this. To be honest with you, pastors don't believe this. So how can they even help church members? Pastors are looking for connections with the governors and looking for that over there. They're looking for how to screw out money from people. They look how to do all kind of things. And they never, like one man came on the TV, he was talking about God's provision, miracles. And he said, this handkerchief, if you just go out for it, this particular handkerchief, if you just buy it from our ministry, it will change everything in your life. It's a money doubler. It can make more money for you. And when he finished talking on the TV, before they finished, he said, please, everybody, remember us, ministry, send us money so that we can run this. One guy screamed, use your handkerchief! Use your handkerchief! Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Do you know what was calling God? Jesus hardly called God God. And that's our root of our problems. What do you call him? Our world today is full of absentee father. They went to American prison and studied it. The people that were in prison, 70% fatherless. Do you know what Yoruba says about father and mother? They say, Baba ni digi, iya ni wura. Baba ni digi. You know the meaning of that? This is it. Iya ni wura, treasure. Baba ni kini, mirror. You will only find yourself looking through the mirror. You will never see yourself well. Ladies know what I'm talking about. It's mirror you used to dress up. You can't do that without mirror. A father should be a mirror to find yourself. Your father should do like this to you. You can do that. Get on, go. Your father can say, I got everything to support you. And Jesus was saying, it's no longer God, it's your heavenly Father. You know, reward is over there. His father is a professor, but I've taught you in the class, but he stays with the dad. He moves with the dad. The dad feeds him, take care of him. God is no longer a God to us. He's our heavenly Father. He's our next of kin. That's what Jesus brought. That we're no longer homeless and running around in our own world and trying to cope. Now, if you look back, now some of you who had great beginning, Pastor Henry had, people had. You see, you never worry when you are small. Anybody here? You never, from around the age of 0, 2, 3, 4, 5, you go around in pants. Am I right? You just put in, I don't know which age you eat. They start sending. You start worrying. You just, maybe the first exam you failed and they say, you don't have a future. No, in the future. That will be, that we're bossing our worry. They start asking you, Baloma Mari, they are saying, get out of my house. Are we here? One more verse and then we shut up. Or two more verses. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow, we will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Give us a message, Bible, and then I stop. We are going to unpack all this statement of Jesus so that I want you to live good in life. I want you to make it in life. This kind of pathway will take you to where Jesus wants to be. That at the end of your life, do you know, I met this when I was 18 years old. And I'm 62 now. I'm happy I went this way. I'm happy that I'm doing a journey with Jesus. Give your attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may happen or happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. So, I know you have a future that is looking dangerous and risky. But Jesus is saying, don't worry. I'll give you a pattern for life. Will you? My job has become easier as a pastor. You know what I do in this church? I used to worry a lot. What will happen to that person? How would they come? What would they go on with life? How would they cope? Then I came to see that that's not my job. My job is just to point you to the signboard. And the signboard in the house. The signboard is to take you to somewhere. And the signboard is the house of Jesus where you can meet him and talk and interact with him. I'm challenging you today in your fear, in your struggle, in your risk. Can you just turn around and say, Jesus, I really want to take a walk with you. I'm not talking about coming forward, sinner's prayer. I'm tired of sinful life. I want a journey. Are you hearing me? I want a journey. I want a parent. I want somebody to take me through life. And honestly, I'm not perfect. I'm still struggling. But it's good to just hear what Christ has to say about life. And it makes all the difference in the world. Am I making some sense today? So, by next week, God willing, we're going to unpack this and talk about how do you stay without worry? How do you make progress that is not turning your life? And see, a lot of people are making progress in life because they're afraid. For instance, about marriage. Will I ever marry? Trust they can. Don't worry about that. What about if you don't remember marry? Huh? That tree beside your house that's very fruitful. Is he married? So what about that? Will I ever travel? When you travel there, you find out that it's just travel. I got to the U.S., sat down there, and I told myself, so Nari, somebody took me to a house in Abuja. When American president came to Abuja, he stayed in the house, the last floor. It's a hotel, block for him. He'd be looking at Aso Rock like that. So he asked me to come and stay there for a weekend. So I got down there. I went inside. Once in a while, I locked myself out. You know what I did? I slept and woke up where Clinton slept. I went to the window. You know what I said? Vanity upon vanity! Because this is it. But when you come to Christ, value upon life. Life upon value upon value upon life. You get what I'm saying? I take a walk with him. So that's what I'm saying today. I'm getting really real with you because I know your fears. I know you're lying on your bed. The things you are thinking about, what will happen? How will it go? Will I ever? Would you ever? Whatever? What will happen to me? I know that. I know that. I was like that. I left home when I was 12 years old. My mother is around. She came for her first service. Who will advise me? I was telling them in the first service. My mother came to me and said, ah, what to change you? What to change? Why? My reliance was not, she won't believe this. When I was very small, I never cried. Cry? I only cry for one reason. When there's no money. I will terrorize you with cry. Then you release the money. I'll make my brother use their money to pay for the food we are going to eat, minus me. I'll eat the food, they pay. I convince them, and that's diplomatic. You know now, money doesn't have any attachment to me anymore. The glory of my life now is giving it out, to be honest with you. The glory of it is sharing. Jesus damaged me to that level. Jesus had, do you know one time Jesus had treasurer? Remember? And I was a thief. That's the best way to keep money. Somebody's stealing your money all the time. Jesus looked at the crowd and said, let's feed them. And they said, where will you get the money? The guy had stolen all the money from the pocket. He just took bread, multiplied, they ate. My. Nothing will stop you anymore in life. So you go to a place, they reject you. Doesn't matter anymore. They said, we don't need you here. Doesn't matter anymore. The girl said, I can't trade my life with you anymore. It's a breakfast. We'll eat lunch after. You know, today, if you know how many people have left church, I never had attachments. I was telling them in the second service, people are still living, going abroad. They are living in droves. Never bothered me. I'm looking for their help. I'm looking for their assistance. Human being is more valuable with Jesus than anything else. That's why he said it. That's why he died. He didn't die for church. He didn't die for institutions. He died for people. And you are one of them. Can you clap for yourself? You are one of them. You are valuable. Is that all right? Fantastic. I think I've made myself clear, but we're going to unpack it in your own level. How do you go about this? How do you take your career this way? How do you take your family this way? How do you become that kind of person that you start living life in such a way that everything is available? And you're not choked anymore. and you become reverse of human ideas, that the elder will serve the younger. Is that right? Thank you. Okay, beautiful. Let's stop there. Okay, let's stop there. Let's have some questions. We're going to eat our food and give our offering. Thank you, Salah, for reminding me. All right. Somebody say, Pastor, how much should I give? Anything you want to give? Can I give 1 naira? Is there any note like 1 naira? Pastor, I don't have anything to give. Give the envelope. We'll receive it back. Thank you. Let's pray for our offering. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. We give you glory and honor. Blessed be your name for our lives. In the name of Jesus, we thank you as we give. Pastor Henry, please come. Let me talk about those who wasted their life for Jesus. Yes, one of them. just waste his life for Jesus. This is supposed to be one of the biggest cartoonists in the country. Yeah. And God said, I'd like you to go to rural areas and go and get them born again and get them saved and get them to encounter Jesus. And he and his wife, the wife was working at his bank. They got together. They've been doing that for years now. This week, they'll be going to Benin Republic. They have another. They are going to get up north of Benin Republic to get people to meet the Lord Jesus again and again. It's just fantastic. Huh? Right? So, these are the people that we should be saluting that are increasing the frontiers of Jesus. He came to go and find me in the service because I'm no longer reachable for him. Your last text, I didn't answer because I didn't know what to answer. Forgive me. That's right. Thank you. Thank you. Great. Thank you, Pastor Henry. All right. Have you given? Do you have any question? Yeah. If you have or ask any question, please feel free. Yeah, feel free. Let's be free. Okay. All right. Beautiful. I can see Ibukun's hand up. Yeah, I can see. Who else want to ask questions? If you want to do it on paper, we'll give you paper. Fantastic. Let's go. Okay. So,
good day, sir.
Thank you.
Good day, sir. So as a Christian, if I want to be more like Jesus, perform miracles, multiply bread, what should I work on? What should I develop?
Thank you. Fantastic. It's not about performing miracles. It's not about multiplying bread. Well, let's get that very clear. Do you know why I said that? Let's go to Matthew 7. Verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Now look at next verse. Everybody look at next verse. This is important. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have you not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name, miracles, signs, kind of stuff. Next verse. And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. You practice lawlessness. What is he saying? Jesus' life is not about just miracles. That's on the verge. That's what you see. Let's read these verses in Message Bible. Take a look, Message Bible. Start from verse 22. Give us Message Bible. Can you look up, everybody? I can see it now at the final judgment. Thousands strutting up to me and say, Master, we preach the message. We bash the demons. Our God-sponsored project had everyone talking. Our ministry is making waves. Let's look at next verse. And you know what I'm going to say to them? You missed the boat. All you did was use me to make yourself important, to build your big ministry. So it's not about that kind of a thing. You don't impress me one bit, you are out of here. The real follower of Jesus, first of all, is that he keeps company with Jesus. He let his value affect his value. Are you listening? Let me give you an example of miracle in marriage. Imagine I'm looking for who to marry. Everybody, are we here? Are we here, everybody? And I'm praying, and I see a vision and flashing lights around a lady full of the glory of God. I hope you're listening here now. And the spirit and the angel said, that's your wife. You know we can divorce later. I've seen plenty of them divorcing. Pastor Eric, look out. You know what? They never learned to live like Jesus. What does that mean? Because Jesus wants us to live as servants and serving one another. So you can pick a miracle and pick a person, but if you don't live like Jesus, it's nothing. Pastor Henry is over here. They have gone to the bush before. They do miracles. Those guys that just collect the miracles alone, they don't want Jesus, follow Jesus. It doesn't work out. So, Jesus, how about this? Do I just want to give you my father's bread or come and stay with my father's house and so we can live together? That's what it's after. Okay, I can go out, do miracles and come back. My life, where is it going? How can I do? How, when they turn around and say, want to follow Jesus, how are they going to follow? So what we are doing over here, you're going to do miracles. It's going to come. Are you hearing me? It's going to come. But, let's look at what Jesus said. Luke 10, verse 17. Take a look at this. Take a look. Quickly. Our time is running. You can have the next one. Then the 17 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even demons are subject to us in your name. Next verse. He said to them, so sit and fall like lightning from heaven. Next verse. I give authority to trample or serpents and scorpions. That's our element. Look at next verse. This is the powerful thing. Do not rejoice in this that the spirits, but you're on the family roll. Your names are written in heaven. That you're your father's house. Let's take an example. Imagine Bill Gates coming to you and saying, can I adopt you? Or should I give you $1 million? When I say I want to adopt you, I'll be your dad, I'll sponsor your true life, take care of you. Financially, don't think anymore. Which one will you pick? You'll be insane to pick $1 million. You'll be insane. Why? But I go take them. Huh? So what I'm talking about is this is participation with Jesus in the journey of life than just taking one or two of his miracles and run off. Judas did. He didn't cast out the devil, heal the sick, raise the dead, but he didn't walk with Jesus through life. He didn't share his perspective. In fact, he was making money off Jesus. Like somebody said, I don't know, it's true. I don't think it's true. He said, after he stole all the money and he must make account, he had to sell Jesus to get the money to be able to make account. And he sold Jesus, not because he thought that Jesus would die. He sold Jesus that Jesus was a miracle worker. That if they capture him, he just do blah, 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 and they all fall off. And he never knew that what he did would kill Jesus. He went to go and kill himself. Okay, no more questions. All right, you have questions. So, let's have a question. Who will answer that? Oh, online?
No, my question.
Your own. Okay, great. Let's read it.
Okay, thank you, sir. I hope I asked the question well. It's about the kingdom, sir.
Yeah.
So, now it looks like trying to get someone to come to Christ, the kingdom. Even the Bible says that the path that leads to life is narrow. It doesn't look attractive.
Yeah.
And the people of the world like something that is attractive and to pay and to yield something for them. But I was reading Matthew 13:44. Can we have it?
Yeah.
NKJV, Matthew 13:44.
Please, let's have it on the screen. 13:44, Matthew. Again, the kingdom of heaven.
Yes. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. So the kingdom of heaven is, there's this treasure about it, which a man found and hid. And for the joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Nobody needed to preach to this man. Once he found this treasure, it was attractive. He gave all he had for it. So how do we make the kingdom attractive and make people find this treasure?
That's what I'm trying to do.
Go for it.
That's what I'm trying to do. Let's look at this from this point of view. See that word kingdom. I'll tell you what is repulsive and what's attractive about the kingdom. Let me tell you the repulsiveness and the attraction. First, it's called kingdom. What's the meaning of kingdom? King dominion. Dominion of a king. Now, why is it repulsive? Why is it not, everybody doesn't want it? Because I'm no longer in charge. Somebody's going to have dominion over me now. That's it. I want to do what I want to do. I want to live what I want to do. I want to have... Look at prodigal son. The prodigal son didn't see the kingdom. He didn't see his father's house as really important. I want to get out there. I want to live my life. I want to do things on my own. That's good. But the father has experience of the life out there, and he knew how to live it well. So he left home. What did he do? He blew up himself. And after he finished, do you know when he was going, his prayer was this, give me my own. When he came back, he said, make me. Now, the attractiveness of the kingdom came after he had lost everything. He sold everything and found the treasure. This is it. I don't think the church is really making the kingdom very attractive. Let me tell you about church in Nigeria now. Church in Nigeria is making something more attractive than the kingdom of God. Ministry. Ministry. Just join the ministry. Feel the anointing. Get the anointing. Come near the pastor. Do. So they're not making the kingdom. They're not making the dominion of the king. The king is Jesus. And he said, come unto me, I'll give you rest. I'll walk life with you. Now, something happened today. I need to tell you something personal. Everybody, are you listening? There's somebody in church who it will just be moved to give, to do certain things. You just do it by the Spirit. It's very catalytic. You just, and it will run, it will be rolling things, making things happen. So the person came to me today and said, look, sometimes you put big money sometimes. For instance, I won't say more than that. The person came and said, is there anything you want me to do? Huh? I want to do more. Can I join a group or something? This is it. You know what I told him? I could have told him, aha, just follow me around. By the way, church needs that, church needs this, church. You know, we need to, easy. I could do that. Ministry needs this. You know what I told him? I took my Bible and I drew a circle on my table and I said, I want you to have the liberty of the Spirit. Something happened recently with him. God asked him to come and do something in a school. Public school. After he finished it, the federal government saw it. And they began to change the schools in Nigeria. Now, can't you see the kingdom influence that I want to wrap him around myself? And give him a place in church that he will never get out of that again. And confine his life to this prison called Tunde Amosun. It's too big than my life. So I told him, you know what I want you to do? I want you to keep on doing that. I want you to keep on listening to the freedom of the Spirit. Whichever group can join, whatever. But I don't want you to kill this one. This is number one in your life. God is using you to do this. That's the king. See, that's powerful. I hope I'm making some sense. We're going to see the kingdom more. This way I'm going, seeking it first. We're going to see. You know, the kingdom is like the temple of Solomon. It's like the temple of Solomon, Moses. You know, the tabernacle of Moses. When you get to the tabernacle, okay, even look at our church. Look at our church. Everybody look up here. First time you came, you didn't see anything so much. When you enter here, it makes all the difference in the world. Have you noticed that? I mean, people are coming and say, what? You mean this is here? On the road, we look so ordinary, right? That's where the kingdom is. You never know the treasure until you stoop to looking. Great, beautiful. Have you prayed over the thing? Okay, it's blessed in Jesus' name. All right. Any more question? Someone? Daniel, thank you. I like this, your jacket. It's beautiful. Okay.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for today's message. So my question is, you mentioned the fact that, I know we've been focusing on, you know, not having and trusting God to have. But
I'm not focusing on that.
Yeah, it's
I'm going after you guys these days. I don't know why.
Okay, trusting God through the journey of life such that everything that pertains to your life is...
I'm simply telling you, listen to Jesus and walk along with him. Okay. See, God is general. This is specific.
Yeah.
I hope I'm making some sense. Trusting God's nebulous. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. Yeah, continue.
Yeah, and You reference the passage where you say, you know, not don't worry about what you would eat or drink, you know, like, because the birds of the air, God takes care of them, so God will take care of you. But my question now is, for someone who has or who comes from a place of abundance.
I didn't hear you.
For someone who comes from a place of abundance or someone who has, how or what on what basis
can he relate with the kingdom?
Yes.
And do that.
And trust God, because it's easy to trust, even if for someone that doesn't have, now let's say God blesses you, then you have, it's easy to start trusting on the blessing than God himself that gave the blessing, such that you are now so focused on the blessing, and when it looks as if the blessing is going, you now start panicking.
So how far is Jesus relevant to a person living an abundant life? I mean, yes. Abundance of material things. How relevant is Jesus to that? I'll give you a story in the Bible. Remember Zacchaeus? The guy shot, he got bunches of money. I go stacks of money. And the Bible said, you want to see Jesus. I think about that. You want to see Jesus. Everybody listen to this. Jesus, one word for it is the desire of the ages. Everybody needs Jesus as life somewhere, somewhere. It may not be only in the money area. So, you know what he did? Follow Daniel. So, he started looking for Jesus. And Jesus was passing a particular way. I know what he did. He was very rich. He was a thinker. So he knew where Jesus would go. He climbed the tree and waited for Jesus there. That's why he was rich. You know the meaning of that? If everybody's going to buy land over there, go there and buy the land first. So Jesus got down there. Are we following? Jesus stopped. Zacchaeus, come down. Today, I'll be with you in your house. How did he know Zacchaeus' name? That's Jesus for you. Why did he stop at that place? Because he will always respond to hungry hearts. Let me surprise you. People who are really in abundance sometimes read the Bible more than we do. Because when they really have it, they get scared. How they're going to go on. One day I was in Lagos. Everybody listen to this. One day I was in Lagos. I was going to embassy to do something on my visa, I'm not sure. And I got to this corner where everybody was rushing the alley in the morning. The traffic was heavy. And I saw this guy. I mean, I felt bad when I saw him. Inside his Jeep. Everybody was hustling. The driver was driving him. He took his Bible at the back. We just reading his Bible and meditating. It's as if everything around him doesn't exist. I say, yay, and I'm a pastor. I was thinking, how are we going to get to where? How are we going to get to where? Where are we going to? It just balance. You'd be surprised. A lot of these guys that look rich in Lagos, they don't know the kind of work they have with Jesus. In fact, that's why they're doing a lot of good that they are doing. Do you know that the challenge is Zacchaeus? You're a thief, blah, 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 blah. Just by associating with Jesus, he said, I'm going to divide my goods. I'm going to give half to the poor. Pastor Henry, I'm thinking that we are missing it in Nigeria. If we stop lambasting our corrupt politicians, if we start giving them Jesus, they will start releasing the money to touch life. To be honest with you, we just keep on bashing them. Let's start. When you get to Jesus, we start confessing without asking you. And he said, anybody I took from, I'll give four times. You're looking for income inequality to be reversed? Yes, sir. Get married to Jesus. Yeah. You see? Let me give you a trick. You know, I do question and answer. This is the trick. My answer is from Jesus. This is the trick. Usually, it's not just the Bible, you know. Bible can confuse you sometimes. Bible can confuse you. Jesus told Pharisees, he said, you are searching scriptures, thinking that in them you have your answer. But the Bible is talking about me, and you won't come to me. You know. Our parents went to the churches where they put Sam inside the water. Or under their pillow. It's Jesus in your heart that makes the difference. Does that get clear? Let's eat our food and go home. Are we blessed today? It's been a wonderful time together with you. Thank you. So, Let me challenge you. Start reading Jesus' life story first. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then go down to read about his apostles that talk to us. Pastor, what about the Old Testament? Listen to this. I want to help you today. The Old Testament is a shadow. This is the light. Now listen. You will never understand Old Testament without the New Testament. People think that you have to read Testament to understand the Testament. No. You need the light to understand shadow. You don't need shadow to understand light. So get into the New Testament very well and get it clear. For instance, I'll give you an answer now from New Testament Jesus. People say, why are there so many killings under the Old Testament? I mean, Aaron's child died, something happened to them, but they kill. And Paul said, that old covenant is a covenant of death and condemnation. It's clear. This one is of life and justification. That's why you don't see people being destroyed. New Testament is the original testament. That was a shadow. Testament of, in fact, even Moses who gave the law didn't make it. Are not true? It's a ministry of condemnation and death. That's why they killed the animals. Animals are happier now. They're no longer offering them. It's a ministry of condemnation. But that answer is in the New Testament. For instance, you won't find the word faith more than one or two times in the Old Testament. One, in Islam, he said, children, remember there's no faith. They just are led by faith. But then they have faith there. You have to read the New Testament to see that by faith, Abraham, by faith, Noah, it's the new that even told us who moved by faith in the old. They didn't even know that clearly. So I would say, start reading the old. And please don't use your grandma's Bible. Peradventure to wit, that will confuse you. My greatest learning started when I started reading Good News Bible in New Testament. I started reading it with my mind, not just reading for devotional. Read 10 chapters today. I finished my 10 chapters. I call it spiritual diarrhea. Goes and comes out. Take your time. I start watching Jesus. Great, beautiful. All right, no more question. Okay, let's go home. So next week, we are going to look at Jesus and finances. Oh, you got a question. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. I've been noticing you for a while. You're asking a question for the first time?
Yes.
I noticed. Thank you.
You said the old covenant is a covenant of death.
Yeah.
But I have this question. What of Ananias and Sapphira? Why didn't they have the opportunity to repent? Because as
fantastic Peter, for that question. Now, if you see anybody die in the covenant of New Testament, they are sent to heaven earlier. They are not going to hell. Let's go and see one. Chapter 5, 1 Corinthians, from verse 1. Let's go. Give us an NLT. You didn't get that. Did you? Come and see. I can hardly believe the report about the sexual immorality going on among you. Something that even pagans don't do. I'm told that a man in your church is living the same with his stepmother. Abba. Man, that's gross, man. Gosh. Next verse. You're so proud of yourself, but you should be mourning in sorrow and shame, and you should remove this man from your fellowship. Next verse. Even though I'm not with you in person, I'm with you in spirit. And as though I were there, I have already passed judgment on this man. What's that? In the name of the Lord Jesus, you must call a meeting of the church. I'll present with you in the spirit, so we power of you, our Lord Jesus Christ. Next verse. Then you must throw this man out and hand him over to Satan so that his sinful nature will be destroyed and himself will be saved on the Lord day, the Lord returns. In the New Testament, if you battle the church and you're messing up, this is what they do. Just imagine you are playing a game. I mean, this is the final for World Cup. And then your number 10 is taking ball to start scoring in your own house. Huh? And you are playing, and he's kicking the ball toward the goalkeeper, and he's missing the goalkeeper, and scoring one, and then scoring number 2. If you're a good coach, what will you do? Wajoko. You just say, come on, Wajoko. You see, in the Bible, they threaten you with going to heaven earlier. You hear me? this guy is messing up the soul. We're not going to score the World Cup. We're not going to make it here. So let him come to heaven earlier, sit down and watch them play the game. One thing I don't want to watch the game. I want to play the game. So that when we get to heaven, I can have a lot of cups and prizes. Is that all right? So when we mess up our life over here now, we don't want that life to be suffocated. So we take you out, your body is destroyed, and then you go be with the Lord, and then you stay with him. I've seen God do that for a lot of some people. They just, isn't that better so you can score the game? Of course, when we finish the game now, even the person that I made to sit down will carry the cup too. Abi, we all scream together, but at least don't spoil the soup. Is that all right? Beautiful. Now, another question before we go. Now, death in the Old Testament is hopeless. He said, will there be any praise for you in the grave? See, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, they were scared of death. Death to them is end of everything. But in the new, it's not. To die is gain. To be with Christ is far better. Clear? All right, beautiful. Let's go home. We're through? Everybody's sitting as if you should have second service again of third service. Okay, let's go home. Choir is still singing. You have sung. Great.